All right, episode 48 of Whiskey Throttle Radio, presented by the Moto Hub. So thank you guys so much for listening. Awesome show for you here. We have privateer Cheyenne Harmon on to talk about his St. Louis Supercross, getting in the main event in the 250 class. So we talked to him about that, jumping down to 250s for this year, also switch brands from Yamaha to Honda, talk a little off-season stuff and injury recovery. After that, we have Jack Chambers and Evan Ferry on at the same time. Really cool. First time we've done that on this show. We talked to them about, you know, training together, riding all the time, what they do off the bike, and what they have planned. So really cool stuff. Some cool kids right there. As always, huge thanks to our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, makers of high-quality racing oil, as well as Chain Lube, Degreaser. You name it, they have it. So make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off. Also, make sure to check out the Moto Hub and the Moto Hub Fantasy Supercross. Head over to fantasy.themotohub.com. Sign up today, only $5. We have some awesome weekly prizes. Giving away a Colton Eck jersey this week, I believe. So be sure to check that out. As always, too, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All right, let's get into it. Me right now as a privateer out of Texas. It's Cheyenne Harmon. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, of course. Had to get you on. Made the main this weekend in St. Louis. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. Just had a good day, qualified pretty well, and then got off to a pretty decent start in heat race, and you know, I finished eighth in that, so that put me straight to the main. Didn't really do too well in the main. I was disappointed in my finish. I just made some mistakes that cost me a lot of time. I missed the start jump, I think two or three laps. And when, man, I was probably at least 2 or 3 seconds missing that. So, you know, everybody's going so fast that once you kind of lose touch from them, it's kind of hard to catch back up. So I was running up in the 15th spot. And like I said, I made mistakes and dropped back, and so I ended up finishing 19th. So not happy about how the main went, but the rest of the weekend was pretty solid. So it's definitely it was good to, you know, last year kind of was a rough year, so it was good to get back in the main event after missing pretty much half of the Supercross season and outdoors last year. So it was good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely caught my eye in qualifying, and then obviously that heat race was awesome too. I'm sure it's a relief just to get it in through the heat and not deal with that whole LCQ.
Yeah, the LCQs are mad. They're madhouses. You don't want to be in that thing because it's just chaos. So it's definitely better to make it out of the heat because then you give yourself more time to rest and you know, to be ready for that main. And also, you know, if you have a bike issue or have something you need to adjust, you have a lot more time. So yeah, it's definitely nice making out of the heat races. Mm-hmm.
A little bit different look for you this year. First of all, you're riding the 250 class. You're normally racing with the 450 boys. And also, you're riding a Honda. You know, we usually see you on Yamaha. What was the decision behind those choices?
I made the decision last spring that I knew I wanted to be on a Honda going into this year. Just the bikes are working pretty well. And I had some problems with my Yamahas that kind of helped influence my decision to ride the Honda. And, you know, I was actually supposed to be on a Honda team this year. And I went and did some races in Germany. And when I got back from those races, we unfortunately, the deal didn't work out. So that was a really big blow to my program, honestly. I didn't think I was going to go race because it was so late. No, everybody had all their riders filled, all the, you know, pretty much all the sponsors had their budget set. And, you know, I didn't really go out and search for sponsors how I normally do because I was told in multiple meetings that I was going racing and I had a full ride and it was a done deal. And then last minute, it kind of got taken away from me. So pretty much had about 3 weeks to put together a program. I knew I wanted to ride the 250 class. I've been wanting to ride the 250 class for the last few years. I just, it's so much cheaper to get a 450 and just ride it than have to get a 250. But luckily, some friends of mine that are helping me out over at Integrity Parking Management had a pretty good Honda 250F sitting in their shop and gave me the chance to ride it. And Maxim Honda supplied me with a 450 and a practice bike 250. So, you know, I was able to get a couple bikes. And pretty much in December, I did two races in December and practiced two times. And the rest of the time was trying to get a bike built and search for sponsors and try to come up with a little bit of funding to go racing. So to say we went in, I mean, I was still doing bike work in Anaheim 1 mm-hmm. on Friday. So definitely went in underprepared. But, you know, I'm thankful to be at the races. And even though it's been a huge struggle, I've honestly been having fun. And so it was definitely good to get the results, some decent results this last weekend because, you know, I don't know, maybe some people wrote me off. I don't know, but definitely looking to keep the momentum going forward because I do believe I'm a main event guy. And I don't think that I know it. You know, my speed, my times have been there the first two races. Just, you know, I just need to get my main event speed, you know, halfway, you know, towards the end back up to where it needs to be. And I think we'll definitely be a top 15, be knocking on the top 10.
Yeah, I was actually really interested to see because when I saw your name on the 250 entry list, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. You know, you've made main events in the 450 class, and if you didn't make it that week, you're always right there on the bubble. So obviously I knew you were going to be able to mix it up there in the 250 class. Is there any plans to head to the 450 class when the series heads east, or is it just a 250 west effort?
Yeah, right now it's just a 250 west effort just because I just don't have the funding to plan a whole lot. So not saying that I won't do any potential races on the 450. You know, that option is always there depending on how things go. But right now I'm just kind of focused on the short term of doing some of these 250 west races and some of the arena cross races and then just go from there and see what happens. I don't really have a set plan. If anybody's seen my bike, you know, my title sponsor is CheyenneHarmon.com. So I'm my own boss, so I can do whatever I want, you know. So just kind of going with the flow and wherever my, you know, what kind of budget I have depends on that.
Dude, speaking of your bike, man, the graphics, everything, dude, and your gear setup, man, it looks so good. It caught my eye in the heat race this past weekend and just seeing your post, man. If you designed those graphics, man, you did a really good job on them.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I Defy Graphics, you know, they made the graphics, but I told them exactly how I wanted it. I told them I wanted the white and the red and how I wanted it. And, you know, they brought it to life. So Mark at Defy really does a good job on my graphics. And Mark over at O'Neill really kills it on my gear setup. And then Colton at Patched MX does some really neat butt patches and, like, leg patches as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I feel like my setup is pretty A1, but it's definitely a full privateer effort. But like you said, you know, I like my stuff looking good. I like to be professional. You know, I think that helps attract sponsors and all that and keep your stuff looking nice. And so, yeah, but yeah, I know, I appreciate it. I was really happy with it. Was cool to see, you know, it wasn't until Friday night Anaheim 1 till all the graphics and the tires and grips and you know, everything got put on. But once it was all said and done and come to life, it was really cool to see.
Yeah, man, definitely. I saw on your also on your social media, you made a post like you're faced with the decision, kind of what you just talked about. Either go get a full time job, or go racing. How close were you to? I don't know if you had a job lined up or whatnot, but how close were you to saying, "All right, I'm not going to race this year. I'm just going to go work."
Really, really close. And I don't really just say that for like attention or anything. Like I really was to that point. I just like, man, I don't even know. As last year was, started off really good and just turned into be a really not good year for me in many ways. And, when you try to come back, I tried to come back from that injury that I had this summer, and I went to race Monster Cup and I got my butt kicked there, and I went over to Germany and did some races and I did okay, but I got my butt kicked there. And I was just like, man, maybe I'm not going to get back to being better than I was. But I've just kept grinding, and I went and did some Hoosier Arena Cross races. And honestly, doing those races was really good for me mentally, because I did okay there and I had some good rides there. So it kind of was like, okay, I can do this. And then, I went to Anaheim 1. And when I went to Anaheim 1, the bike that I rode, that was my third time to throw a leg over that bike. And I think my third or fourth time to ride a 250 since 2017. So it was just kind of like, let's just go have fun and, see where we're at. And here we are. But yeah, no, I was really close to thinking about going to the UPS and getting a full-time job, but I was able to get a few sponsors to give me enough money to do a couple races. So I was like, well, I'll go do these few races, and then we'll just see how it goes, and then make a full decision after that.
But man,
I definitely don't want to quit.
Yeah, and like kind of that job's gonna be there too. So like, if you want to, you said, you're feeling good. You want to go make a last-ditch effort on 2020, do it. And if it doesn't work out, you can always go that other route, like you said. You mentioned full privateer effort here. So are you driving it each round, or do you have someone taking your bike for you?
So I had one of my buddies take my bike to California before Anaheim 1. For me, it's twice as cheap to race the West Coast. I live in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, round trip flights are in the $200 area. So for me, it's just cheaper to fly home every weekend.
Yeah.
And I know enough people on the West Coast. I did have to pay to have my stuff hauled from Anaheim to St. Louis and back. But for any of the other West Coast stuff, I know enough people who are out there that will just, throw my bike in somewhere and take it for me. So that makes it nice and a little cheaper on me. So, I have to come up with my flight money, hotels, Uber, food, plus, all my parts and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a lot cheaper for me to do the West Coast. But with that being said, I might be driving to Phoenix, but for the most part, I actually did drive to St. Louis. One of my buddies who helped me out lived about the halfway point.
Okay.
So I drove to his house, and then he drove the rest of the way. So, that was nice to have that. But I'll be flying to Anaheim this weekend, and then I'll probably drive to Phoenix.
Okay. I wasn't doing it, but I was feeling bad for all the people that were making that, Anaheim to St. Louis and then back to Anaheim trip. I'm sure that was just brutal. It's kind of weird to see them, make St. Louis round two, but it is what it is. But man, I'm sure that threw a wrench in some people's plans.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely, it's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of sad that they plan the schedule the way it is, where, you go one side of the country to the next, back to the other side. But that's a whole different topic there.
Exactly. Yeah. You mentioned you raced a Suzuki in Germany this offseason. How did that whole deal come about?
So I had been messaging the team owner, Mishy, for the last few years, always throwing my name out there and asking for an opportunity if there was ever one there. And He messaged me during this off season and asked if I was still interested, and I was interested, but my leg was I was still healing up from my leg injury, but I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity. And so it all worked out for me to go over there. It was funny, about the week before I went over there, I'd only rode a supercross track twice before I went over there, but my leg the week before I went was finally to the point where I could actually go through a set of whoops. It was my leg healed pretty quick, but it felt like it took forever. You know, there's a lot of pain that I had to deal with, even when I got back riding. And when I got back riding, I was only able to do, you know, a couple laps at a time before my leg just hurt too bad. I had to pull off. So I went over there a little underprepared, but I wanted to go over there because I knew I had given my all, and I think they could see good things in me. And it was definitely a fun opportunity. I got to do, you know, those races over there, and I had a couple okay races, but for the most part, I was underprepared. But it was definitely a fun opportunity. I'm glad I got to go, and hopefully I get an opportunity again to go and be prepared.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you might not have had the results that you wanted, but you got to, you know, travel the country and ride your dirt, or travel the world and ride your dirt bike, which is, you know, an opportunity a lot of people don't get. So all in all, that it just had been super cool to do that.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I always wanted to have the opportunity to go over there and race, and it just sucked that the opportunity come about when I wasn't at my best. Mm-hmm. But you know, they saw some good things in me. You know, like I said, we had a couple good races, and you know, I think if I can be more prepared, I can go over there and do a lot better. But all in all, I'm still very, very thankful for the opportunity that I got to go, and it was definitely something I'll never forget.
How are the tracks over there? Are they more like arena cross, or are they in big full, like, I guess not football, but I guess it'd be soccer stadiums?
Yeah, they're more arena cross style. They're a little bigger than the traditional arena cross tracks, and you know, they're a little bit longer, and they make some of the jumps a little bigger. So it's kind of like an arena cross supercross style track they do. But yeah, they're definitely tight tracks. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that plays in your style more, or are you more of like an outdoor guy?
So it's weird because I didn't even start really I raced off road growing up. So I was about 15. So it would be easy to say that I'm an outdoor guy. And the only thing I could ever chalk it up to why my indoor skills are as decent as they are is because I had a practice track in my backyard that was arena cross style. And obviously growing up, I rode that thing a lot. So that's the only reason I think my indoor skills are better, but I think I'm more of an indoor guy than I am outdoors. Mm-hmm. Or supercross more than outdoors, but you know, I enjoy both and I like doing both. So
what kind of off-road, like hair scrambles or enduros?
Yeah, just like I guess I did a couple GNCCs, and then I did all the series here in Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, they're 2-hour, 1.5-hour races.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I started actually riding the pro class when I was 13, and I won the Texas Off-Road National Pro Championship. I started the season when I was 13, but my birthday's in June, so when I won the championship, I ended up being 14. But yeah, I really was doing off-road a lot, and I had a pretty, you know, good chance of actually maybe getting on a factory team and doing something good there. But you know, it just I was really having a hard time getting help. Like, yeah, there was guys getting free product and gear and bikes, and you know, I would beat them, but they were racing motocross and trying to race supercross and stuff. And plus, I'd always wanted to race supercross. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's every kid's dream, is
yeah,
they want to race supercross. And so yeah, I kind of shifted gears and turned my focus to motocross and went race arena cross and went through that system. And yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I just find it interesting. I race hair scrambles here in Florida, so I always think it's interesting when, you know, moto guys have interests in, like, in the woods and stuff. So just figured I'd ask.
Yeah, no, like I said, I did it a lot. I didn't get to make 10 off-roads this last year, but I usually try to go hit a couple of the local off-road stuff on an off weekend or whenever I'm able to just go do something different, try to make a little extra money and just go see everybody that I grew up with. You know, it's a lot of fun for me to go there now.
Mm-hmm. We've also seen you race up in Canada. How'd you like that series?
Yeah, the Triple Crown series is it's pretty fun. Kyle Thompson and them, they do a really good job with that series and really doing a good job of growing it and also just, you know, making the series better, you know, trying to improve it. So I enjoy racing up there. At this point in time, I don't have no plans of racing up there this season. But if I had the opportunity, I'd go back. You know, I like Canada. It's a pretty place. The weather's usually pretty good, and you know, everybody's nice up there. And yeah, it's definitely a fun series.
Yeah, everyone I talk to that's, you know, race up there seems like it. They always say it's more like laid back and kind of that local like vibe. Everyone's pretty cool with each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, for the most part, everybody's having a good time. And no, it's funny, when I went up there in 2018, I went up there, I packed up my van and drove up there by myself and knew nobody. And by the third or fourth race, it's like I knew everybody in the pits, and people were opening up their doors for me to come stay, or, you know, whatever it may be. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed being up there. You know, I went to race the series this last year, and unfortunately got hurt at the second race, so I didn't get to spend much time up there. But yeah, no, I enjoyed up there, and if I get the opportunity to go back up there, I definitely will.
Yeah, man, that'd definitely be cool to see up there mixing up again. Last thing I want to talk to you about is, it seems like there's so many fast dudes that come out of Texas. I don't know if that's because it's such a big state or you can ride year round, but who did you kind of grow up riding moto with that's, you know, racing pro now? Who did you kind of have any rivalries or anything like that?
You know, it was funny. So I grew up in a town called Ovilla, which is a pretty small town. And one day I was a little kid and we were eating breakfast and we was watching a Disney Channel and Sean Hackley's commercial come on there.
I remember that one.
And, you know, we finished breakfast and we're out in the garage. My dad was working on the bike. I was a kid, so who knows what I was doing. And then here comes Sean Hackley driving past our house. And they passed us and saw the bikes and turned around and pulled in. And they had just moved from Maryland a block over. So I kind of grew up looking up to Sean. He'd come over and ride my track sometimes, and I'd go to the track with him, and, you know, whenever I was allowed or could go or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I raced off-road, yeah. So for the most part, and, you know, John Short raced some off-road stuff with me growing up as well. And, but yeah, there's not too many guys that I raced with growing up that I even ride now.
Well, Cheyenne, thank you so much for giving me your time tonight, and best of luck the rest of the series. Before I let you go, who do you want to thank for getting you out there?
Yeah, I want to thank the Lord for blessing me with, you know, the talents I have, and just being able to go out and do what I do. And I really want to thank Will and Jeremy at Integrity Park and Management for giving me the bike to ride, and, you know, supporting me in any way they can to go race this season. I definitely want to thank Maxim Honda for helping me out with a few bikes. Tommy over at A-Plus Telecom, MotoLink, Eagle Eye Contractors, Premium Solutions Roofing. Also want to thank a sponsor that just come on board. It's a new product about to call them out. It's called Elbows Up. I'll definitely be posting more about that here in the near future. But definitely a good new little training tool that's going to be coming out to help people with their riding position. Merge Racing for providing me with some good suspension. Poly Texas, O'Neill Racing, Deaf Family, Rye, Alpine Stars, Hoosier Tire, Pro Circuit, Recluse, Dirt Tricks, Gus Racing, Spy Goggles, Blood Lubricants Oil, Vertex Piston, Skivvy Underwear, Scumbag Clothing, Twin Air Air Filters, M2 Auto Repair, Todd over at Shawnee Motor Company for having my back through many, many years and supporting me in any ways can. My trainer Greg over at Game Moto, Fit and Wise. And I think I said Vertex Piston. And
What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick ass degreaser, detailer, and pre race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's BLUDlubricants.com, and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show. All right, we got two special guests on the line with me right now. First up, you ride for the Unlimited BTO Sports, or Rides Unlimited BTO Sports KTM team. It's Jack Chambers. What's up, man?
What's up, Gert? How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Also on the line with me right now, he rides for the Rockstar Husky Amateur Program. It's Evan Ferry. What's up, Evan?
What's up, Gert?
Thank you for coming on, dude. I feel bad for you, though. You have to hang out with Jack Chambers all the time.
Yeah, no, it sucks.
Well, first up, so I saw you headed over to St. Louis, Evan, to do some Supercross Futures. How'd that go for you?
It went pretty good. The track was awesome, actually. Kept the whoops pretty big. Track was great. Ran a pretty good race there and ended up coming out with the win in both of my classes.
So now this is the third season they've been doing the Futures. Have you noticed them kind of getting the tracks more dialed in to where they're not super technical but also not super basic?
Yeah, for sure. Like, 2 years ago when I was on Cowie's, I think I ran Tampa, and the track was pretty good. Not near as good as St. Louis this weekend. I think for sure over the past 3 years, I think they've kind of figured out like a technical but like safe track for everybody, and like you can still pass, and like there's still like places to separate like the slower and faster guys.
I gotcha. And are you planning on doing any more this year? Doing all the East Coast ones?
I think I'm gonna do Tampa, and I think that's it.
And what about you, Jack? Are you hitting any Futures?
Yeah, we were trying to get out to California, maybe A2 in Phoenix, but that didn't work out. So we're just going to do Tampa this year. So right now, yeah, that's it.
Well, definitely the home race for both you guys, so that'd be cool to do it at Raymond James.
Yep.
Be
good.
So right now, are you guys just riding strictly Supercross stuff, or are you mixing it up with some motocross as well?
And mostly... No, mostly just Supercross. Next week we may do a day of motocross before the Gold Cup, or maybe Winter Am. I can't remember. The Winter Am next weekend at Gatorback.
Okay.
We don't really get to ride Gatorback much since it's Mineo's racetrack. So we'll maybe throw a day in a motocross next week, but.
I gotcha. When do you start doing kind of full-on motocross? Because, dude, sooner or later, Spring Nationals will be coming up, and it'll be Loretta's time.
Yeah, so this week, in the past few weeks, we've been doing Supercross. And then maybe after Spring Nationals, we may do a few days here and there of outdoor stuff and motocross before Spring Nationals. But after Spring Nationals, maybe in between Daytona and Freestone, we may do a little bit. But after that, it's strictly outdoors.
Well, let me add in on that. We're going to ride for a good probably like 3 weeks, 2 weeks before Spring Nationals and outdoors. Right after Tampa, we'll switch basically strictly outdoors and ride most of my stand track on at my house. And,
hey.
Yeah, track's awesome out there.
No, it's horrible.
Yeah. And then we'll probably ride a little bit of Supercross, like maybe a day or two before Daytona. And then we'll head out that the same week as Daytona to Spring-a-Ding-Ding. And then basically straight from Spring-a-Ding-Ding, we'll go to Freestone. So we'll be gone away from home for like 3 weeks, out racing in Texas. And we'll kind of close to our hometown in Daytona.
Okay. Not much practice other than the Nationals once you get past Tampa.
I gotcha.
After that, it's a lot of.
I'll ask you this, Evan. How hard is it for you to switch from, you know, being riding Supercross all the time, and then you got to get into this kind of outdoor grind? Because let's be real, it's two different styles of riding. How long does it take you to kind of get back in the motion of, you know, riding balls out on an outdoor track?
It's actually kind of a good question. I think the transition from outdoors to Supercross is harder because you go from wide open outdoor tracks, rail and brush as hard as you can, to like super technical rhythms, and actually started jumping like some bigger rhythms these past couple of weeks, riding a lot on the Supercross track, getting really comfortable. Ended up hitting the Supercross triples and started hitting some bigger jumps. Like, I think just getting more comfortable on the Supercross track is definitely a lot harder than getting used to like going back to the outdoor track. I think just been so used to riding outdoors like your whole entire life, I think it just comes very easily for most people just to kind of switch back to outdoors.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. So you guys are obviously, you know, training partners and riding partners. Evan, what is one thing that Jack does better than you that you want to, you know, kind of pick up on so you can, you know, take him out and be the top dog there?
Everything. Everything. I definitely try to gauge off of him. I mean, some days you never know if he's having a bad day and I'm having a good day. It almost gets pretty close there, but he's mostly a lot faster than me, so it's hard to like
the first time he's ever admitted that to anyone else.
Okay, listen, Jack, it's like 3 seconds, all right? And you're on a big bike. Yeah. All right. I just had to get that out there. It's definitely a lot of fun, and like having somebody to judge off of that you know that goes really fast and can win like national titles and run up there like with the big bikes.
And Jack, what's one thing Evan does better than you that you want to work on?
Well, I used to be able to say whips, but recently we've been getting pretty close together on whips. Dude, and stuff. I mean, I'm on a big bike and stuff.
I think Evan's got you on the whips. I cruise his social
media. Maybe
today.
Maybe a little bit.
He's got you.
Maybe a little bit. He just posts whips. I don't post whips. I think whips are gay.
You probably don't post whips because you don't.
That's why Evan does them. Well, I never. I'm always filming him. He never films me.
So what's
because you never throw it.
that's a good reason. I just think you can't throw them at all, Jack, or they'd be just bangers.
All right. I'll post something this week with me.
He threw one of the biggest whips I think I've ever seen off the turning step up, and he posted on Instagram. I thought for sure it was gonna blow up, but then it. Like,
dude, nobody cares.
There's just so many whips because Evan posts them all the time that they're just tired of them.
Oh, I know. Everyone gets tired of them. And then I post them, and then I'm thinking everyone's gonna get excited, and it's like, well,
nope.
Honestly, they don't. I've come to notice now, unless the whip is like unbelievable, like completely upside down, like something crazy, like that you never see, or like a scrub, like that one dude at Red Sand. It will not blow up. But if you post a video of you hitting a sand corner like 10, everybody will repost it.
Like
it
Ethan's,
blows up.
Ethan's
yeah.
got like 60,000 views.
It's
Ethan Lane. He's one of the other kids that we train with from England.
It's It's because Axel Hodges and guys like that are just doing such insane shit now that
oh, I know.
You can't compare.
What about the alley-oop thing?
Dude, that's just unreal. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, basically, I figured out what he did. Basically, he threw an oppo, but he threw it so hard, and basically he
went
just didn't
so high, and then
yeah, and he just didn't bring it back. But he like
went
like,
all the way around.
His setup off the jump is like he throws an oppo.
So you're gonna be try it this week then, since you got it all dialed in.
Yeah, I'm gonna hop
for sure. We're gonna make a quarter pipe.
If Axel is listening to this, I want to come out and try it.
What's a typical day for you guys? What's the schedule like from time you wake up to you go to bed? How much riding you guys do, and what do you guys do off the bike?
Well, we'll wake up around 8:30. Depends. Like, I'll do school sometimes, so I'll wake up a little bit early, or I'll do school before I ride. But we'll mostly go out at 10, do a warm up, and then we'll do our motos. Just depends on what track we're riding and what my dad has planned for us. We really don't know what we're going to do.
If Red Dog is feeling a little feisty, he puts us on some 20-minute motos on Supercross like he did today. Yeah, that was fun.
basically, I don't think he wants us like stressing over what we're going to do. So he kind of just tells us like
does
right
it
before
random.
We do it. And well, no, he has a plan in his head, but we'll do that. And then after on certain days, we'll do gym at 4:45, which is like a couple hours after we're done riding. So in between that, we'll like go eat, or we'll just sit there. We'll go jump in the pool or
kind of rest.
Yeah,
try to rest. But when you're our age, you want to just go freaking do stuff all the time.
Definitely, that dude. So who else you guys got there at the Red Dog Academy?
Jalik Swole, Jesse Flock, Jonah Geisler. Chad Salt, and then Ethan, whenever he comes back from Spain.
Is Jesse Flock?
He's English, but he lives in Spain right now. But
is Jesse Flock racing Supercross this year?
No, next year. He's running A-Class. He'll do the last three rounds like Jalik did.
Okay.
Of outdoors.
Or I don't even think Jalik actually did all three, but
he did one.
Yeah.
So, Evan, as you know, Jack's just this ripper in the woods. When are we going to see you out at a hair scramble?
That's kind of a good question. I don't really know yet.
He should have came and done Mondin Hill.
Dude.
I was going to, but my dad said no. and basically, he didn't have a reason. But I don't know. I'm maybe a little scared. Like, honestly, I'm okay with getting close to the trees, but it's hitting the roots. That's sketches me out for some reason. I don't know why, but if I hit the roots and like I get all sketched and like almost hit something, like I just slow down and I sit down.
Dude, just close your eyes, you'll be all right. That's what I do.
Well, that sounds good.
Jack, do you think Evan could win A200? Right, he could beat Gage. You think on the
Super Mini? Dude, I don't know. Gage is doing pretty good right now.
I know.
Evan?
No, my friend.
Gage
Hunter.
Imagine,
he's pretty good.
Imagine him in Mini A.
Oh, he's not allowed to ride it. He's not Super Mini.
Oh.
Put him in Junior A. Junior A is a good fit for him.
No,
yeah.
If I actually went and like, trained in the woods, I'd probably do all right.
The track's not even that rough.
I don't train in the woods. I literally go straight from Supercross to...
Yeah, but you've rode it like your whole life, though. And I haven't rode woods like at all.
Yeah,
maybe there's it's time to make a little woods loop at the ferry compound there, Jack.
I'm trying. I'm
yeah,
trying.
Man.
So looking ahead for you guys, what do you guys? I guess you kind of talked about it earlier, but what races do you guys have planned, and what classes are you gonna be riding?
Well, I'll be riding Schoolboy 2, 250B, the stock and mod class. May throw in a few 125 All Stars. WW, Iron Man, a few Astro Loretta's. But basically right now we're just doing Supercross and then Futures, Spring Nationals, Area Qualifiers, Regionals, Loretta's. And then Astro Loretta's we got Baja, which is up in Michigan, and a few other races. And then come back Mini O's and then start all over again.
It's a full schedule right there.
Yeah, it's basically we do all the same races, maybe a few different air qualifiers here and there. He does the youth region, I'll do the amateur, but
yeah, you know, I'm still on the little bike.
Still a little baby.
But yeah, I'll be riding Super Mini 1 and 2 strictly all the way up until Loretta's. I'll probably get a 125 right after Loretta's, and I don't know if I'll move up and like stay on the 125. I don't know if like I'll switch in between. I'll probably not want to ride the Super Mini by then, but I'm going to go to Spring Ding Ding, Freestone. I think I might go to Paula for
California Classic,
and then I'll do Mammoth.
Yeah, I forgot that one. Yeah, I'm going to do Mammoth this year.
Mammoth is like a really sick race, like probably one of my favorites out of the year. And, second favorite. Minio's is my favorite. We'll do that at the end of the year. And then we'll do areas and qualifiers. We'll go to Loretta's on Super Minis and then move up. And then I'll probably do some Gold Cups. And then, Baja, and then Minio's.
Awesome. And who's going to be your biggest competition this year, Evan?
You're having to think about that one.
I haven't actually really thought about that yet. I don't really know yet.
Himself. I say himself.
Yeah.
That's his biggest competition this year.
Yeah, we're gonna just have to see when we go to the races.
He's got to work on his confidence level because it's way too high right now. I mean, I don't know if you can have a limit of too high of confidence, but Evan's got it.
My confidence would be pretty high, too, if I pulled those wicked hole shots at Monster Cup and went 1-1.
Exactly.
Well, I know you guys got to go, so I'll let you go here. Thank you so much for your time, man, or both you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem, man.
All right, see you.
Good talking with you. All right, see you.
Yeah. All I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause an angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, okay, you gotta jump in to swim. Well, the light was dim and this life was sin. Now every day I wake up and breathe. I don't have it all, but that's all right with me. Take it nice and easy, took a flight to see me. Send you back home with a light that's beaming. The whole team about to figure it out. We ice cold, that's what winter about. And sometimes, I wish I took a simpler route. Instead of having demons that's as big as my house. Have a ball with a dribble and bounce. Cause the party ain't over till they kicking me out. Yeah, isn't it funny? We can make a lot of money, buy a lot of things just to feel a lot of ugly. I was yay high and muddy, looking for what was looking for me. But I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. Tell me that I get her high, cause an angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, they ask me what I'm smiling for. Well, because I never been this high before. It's like I never felt alive before. I'd rather have me peace of mind than war. You see me and you, we ain't that different. I struck the fuck out and then I came back swinging. Take my time to finish, mind my business. A life ain't a life till you live it. I was digging me a hole, big enough to bury my soul. Weight of the world, I gotta carry my own. With these arms, I can carry you home. I'm right here when you scared and alone, and I ain't never in a hurry. You don't never gotta worry. Even when it's 7:30 and the time is running low. When your heart get cold, see what's behind all them unturned stones. And I'm a pro when it come to my job. But really, I'm just trying to start believing in God. Now when it gets hard, I don't panic, I don't sound the alarm. because I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause an angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine, take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause an angel's supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door.